everyone. This is Molly Douthat.
And David Douthat.
Welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to incorporate multiple intelligences into sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for the 13th week of Ordinary Time, Year C. We've moved on to 2 Kings, we've skipped chapter 4 of Galatians, and we're watching James and John make a truly mind-boggling offer to Jesus in Luke. We have all the intelligences represented over the three passages, so let's go see what's in store for us this Sunday.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary that use various, what we call, smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. Word smart, vision or eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God, so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. So let's get started. The Old Testament lesson for Year C, Ordinary 13, is 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and 6 to 14, or verses 1 to 14. It's the end of the story of Elijah, and it is the point where he is about to be taken up into heaven, and he has anointed Elisha as his successor, who is following along with him, and they make a trek from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho to Jordan. And along the way, there are clumps of prophets who take Elisha aside and say to him, you know, your master is about to be taken from you. And he says, yes, I know, shut up. And that happens at each point along the way. And then when they get to the Jordan, they cross over the Jordan as Elijah takes his mantle and smacks the water with it, and off they go across on dry land. And then Elijah asks Elisha what he would like from him before he leaves. And he says, a double shot of your spirit, please, if I may. And Elijah says, well, if you see me go, then you get it. And if not, you don't. And suddenly, the chariot of fire and horses of fire come down and get between the two of them, and Elijah is taken up in the whirlwind, and his mantle falls to Elisha, who then takes it up, rolls it up, hits the Jordan River with it, and the waters part, and he goes back into Israel. So, there we have it. We've got four items for you here today. We've got iSmart, illustration and special effect. We have an illustration in Body Smart. We have an illustration from Music, and a special effect for you for People Smart.
So for iSmart, we're looking again at that really long walk. And this might, again, one more time, might be time to get out your map and start in Gilgal, which we talked about a while ago. I can't exactly remember when it was, but we did talk about the fact that Gilgal is the place where God, or the people of the Israelites, after they had crossed the Jordan River, they came to Gilgal, and God rolled away their past from them, sort of opening up the future to them, welcoming them into the land and saying, okay, here we go, let's get started. So they start in Gilgal, the place where God rolled away their past. They go to Bethel, which is where Jacob had his vision of the angels going up and down the stairway to heaven. And and of God's promise to him. Jericho is where the peoples had their triumph, led by Joshua. And the Jordan is where the whole thing started. And so it's kind of a reverse order of travel, kind of hitting the high points. Some of the high points, there are others, I'm sure, from the beginning of their time as a people of Israel, crossing the Jordan from the wilderness into the land to the present day. So get your map out and just trace that. Take a look at it as an illustration. For a special, well, kind of also a special effect, but for a different special effect, have your congregation visualize some of the places that they have been as a congregation in its history. There may actually be some other places. Maybe your congregation has worshipped in different physical spaces. But also there are spiritual places. Where are the other spiritual places your congregation has been? And where are you all on your journey right now?
It kind of has some people overtones as well, mm-hmm. People smart. For body smart, we want to think about the mantle of the prophet Elijah that falls to Elisha. And the mantle being a long sleeveless garment worn as an outer covering. It's kind of blanket-like and served as protection as well as giving some identification of who the person is based on, you know, the pattern and so on. The mantle being passed, of course, is an idiom that we use for
a
successor that comes from this story. But we want to think about maybe the idea of having an actual physical garment that has been passed down to you or passed along to you. Do you have a coat or a sweater or a jacket or something that has been passed to you from someone else? What's the story behind that? And what does it feel like for you to wear that? Are there memories attached to it? Are there, do you have a different sense of yourself when you wear it? Mm-hmm. Things like that. So, and encourage people just maybe to imagine putting on a mantle or article of clothing from someone that was dear to them. And mm-hmm. we'll get to that, something related to that in People Smart. For Music Smart, just a couple of songs that you might want to touch base with, and you probably have already thought of them, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, and Chariots of Fire, the theme from the movie from the 1980s.
As David has mentioned in Body Smart, we're looking at the idea of relationships. Specifically in body, we were looking at relationships as they are represented by a garment or a physical article of clothing. But take that idea of the relationship that is present in that, and this is the special effect for People Smart. Break into small groups and talk about the person who was a mentor. Maybe that person was someone who was a guide for you, somebody who taught you things, a parent, a teacher, maybe a pastor at some point in time in your life. What did they do for you? How are you a different person for having them in your life? And as you have this conversation, as it starts to wind down, be sure to encourage everybody to thank God for those people that are in their lives. And if they haven't done so, to thank them themselves, if it's at all possible, if they are still with us on this earthly realm.
Okay, let's go on.
The epistle lesson for year C, Ordinary 13, is from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. And then leaping way ahead to verse 13, reading through to 25. We have no idea what happened to chapter 4. It's gone. But in this particular chapter, and in particular in those later verses, are the very well-known argument that Paul makes about the difference between the flesh and the spirit. The works of the flesh, the fruit of the spirit. It's all about freedom. It's all about
freedom.
Yes. Paint your face half blue, half white, and read this. So he does state in verse 14, that the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then he goes on into talking about the works of the flesh and the works of the spirit as a way of illustrating that. So you have actually a word smart illustration and an eye smart illustration right here in this particular passage. The entire thing is an illustration, but we have come up with a special effect for iSmart, an illustration and a special effect for MathSmart, a special effect for MusicSmart, and a special effect for SelfSmart. So we're going to start with the iSmart.
I wanted to get a sense of the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the spirit, and there's a sense of the works of the flesh being chaotic or leading to chaos.
Disorder, disunion.
Yeah, mm-hmm. All of that sort of thing. So, and there's a sense of balance that happens here too. So a couple possibilities for your special effect. One would be, if you haven't tried the balance, the scale balance, you could do that here. Or if you have used it and you want to use it again, you could use that here with the works of the flesh on one side and then the fruits of the spirit on the other, being the meatier and weightier and bringing the greater gravitas and better choice. So there's that. And I had made a balance scale a couple of weeks ago for Molly for one of the passages. And so we'll...
Naboth's Vineyard,
and mm-hmm. we'll put a picture of that up in the show notes so you can see it. It's
it's rough.
It's rough. It's very rough.
But it worked. Yeah. I mean, it was very. I had everybody's attention, and ironically, I had everybody's attention the day that the Orlando shooting was coming about. I was talking about God restoring equilibrium to justice, and had no clue what was going on.
Yeah. So that's something that you might want to try with these also. Another possibility would be to demonstrate the chaos of the works of the flesh by building a lottery ball mixer. And we have a couple of links here for videos from YouTube on how to do that. And you basically get a large plastic vessel, either for a water cooler or a couple of plastic bowls taped together. And you put a hole in the top and a hole in the bottom, and you use, these folks use shop vacs, the exhaust port on the shop vac, and you run the hose up into the bottom of the thing.
It'd be so loud.
It would be loud. That's the only problem with it. And then you put the ping pong balls in, and they're going all over the place. So there's some adjustments that you have to make sure that the thing doesn't explode from the pressure.
Ping pong balls everywhere.
You have to kind of.
There goes the fruit of the spirit.
You have to kind of put some holes in it to let the pressure off. Although it might be an interesting illustration.
That would be hysterical.
You know, if it blows up, it's like, see, that's what happens with the works of the flesh. You blow up. So there's that. And then for the fruit of the spirit, you might do something a little more orderly, decent in an order, as John Calvin said.
Like
Paul
shadow
said.
Box.
And a shadow box or a grid or a bowl, like a fruit bowl.
Ooh, a still life.
Right.
And then paint it.
Yeah. Or a tube, a clear tube. And we have a link for an idea about that. Mm-hmm. Something that shows that this is a much more orderly and peaceful way of being. Mm. So
tasty, too, because it's fruit.
Yeah. So there we are.
Okay, so for MathSmart, we're still looking at the fruits of the spirit. And a couple of years ago, David and I had an opportunity to write a curriculum for a winter retreat with his congregation about the fruit of the spirit. And so we're pretty much stealing from that. The special effect we have for this for MathSmart is an actual graph that David designed for the T-shirt that we put that we had for the retreat. The nine fruits can actually be categorized. You have love, joy, and peace. their internal types of fruits. Their patience, kindness, and goodness are attitudes toward other people. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are ways of acting towards others. And if you arrange them in a nine-point grid, so you have love, joy, peace at the top, patience, kindness, goodness in the middle, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, then you can look at the way they run from top to bottom. Love begets patience, which begets faithfulness. Joy begets kindness, which begets gentleness. Peace begets goodness, which then begets self-control. It's really kind of cool. I like it a lot. We'll have the graphic on the website, so you can go take a look at that.
For music, there are lots of songs about the fruits of the Spirit.
I've got one running through my head right now. I can't get it out.
Yeah, and some of them are really bad, and some of them are
hard to learn. Bad, honey? Cheesy?
Some of them are cheesy, and some of them are really hard to sing. Mm-hmm. And because they're not easy words to fit into lyrics.
A song, no.
But there are lots of variations.
Lots
so
of people who have tried.
Yes, and it's tempting for me because I like writing songs, but I haven't tried that one yet. So anyway, we've got links for you for about five different Fruits of the Spirit songs that you can have a listen to. And here are a few clips from a couple of the songs. Then there's one in particular that has hand motions with it, and it's a particularly cheesy one, but you end up doing a hand jive for the Fruits of the Spirit, which might actually help people
get
them into their heads. I found it to be one of the more memorable ones.
Mm-hmm. And, well, it's because you're using your body.
Yeah.
So
a little body smart thrown in here.
The fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. Fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. If you want to be a coconut, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit's not a banana. The fruit of the Spirit's not a banana.
We also found a few Works of the Flesh songs, and those are maybe easier to find. You don't find them by putting in Works of the Flesh song. You can't find them that way.
No.
You just have to go out and find songs about drinking and fighting and the things that Paul writes about here as being works of the flesh. And there are so many.
There are a lot.
So many.
Very many genres, too.
Rock and roll.
Metal.
Metal. Country. Hip-hop. You know, all of them. So, because everybody loves doing the works of the flesh, apparently, or at least singing about it.
Yep.
So, don't know that you want to teach those songs to your kids or anything, but anyway, they're available if you want to make use of them.
Or at least look at them yourself. For Self-Smart, we have a special effect. Ask your congregation to consider these questions. What fruit of the Spirit, what fruit do you produce? Which one of those nine fruits comes out of you most easily or most abundantly? What fruit would you like to cultivate more? And usually whenever I ask that question, everybody says, patience! So give those two questions to your congregation. Either, you know, sit with those in worship or have them think about them and for the coming week. And then encourage them to take some time to pray, asking the Spirit to grow that fruit in their lives.
You might even put something in the bulletin that lists the fruits so that they have them. You might use the chart, actually, that we have
here. Oh, that's a great idea.
And print that so that they can see them for people who are visually attuned. Mm-hmm. And maybe even give them a sample prayer.
There you go. Yep. All right, moving on.
The gospel lesson for the 13th week of Ordinary Time, Year C, is Luke chapter 9, verses 51 to 62. It tells us here that Jesus has, at this point, turned his face toward Jerusalem. So this is kind of the midpoint in Luke's gospel, and this is everything from this point is heading toward the crucifixion and resurrection. Now, as it happens, he was on his way going through Samaria, and Samaria did not recognize the authority of Jerusalem. That was one of the things that stood between them and the Jews. And so when Jesus is going through Samaria, he's wanting to stop in the villages there and do some stuff with them. And one particular village says, no, you're going to Jerusalem. We don't recognize that. And so they wouldn't welcome him. And so James and John say, hey, you want us to call down fire on them and destroy them? And Jesus rebukes them.
No,
what are you thinking, for heaven's sake? I would love to know just exactly what he said there.
And what his face looked like.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then it continues that as Jesus goes along, he encounters three people that either he invites or that invite themselves along to be his disciples, and his warnings to them about what it means to be his disciple. And so we have someone who wants to follow, and he says, hey, you know, Son of Man doesn't have any place to hang out. So just be aware of that. And somebody who says, let me go bury my father first. And he's like, let the dead bury their own dead. And then the third was, let me say farewell to my folks at home. And he says, no one who puts hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. So some challenging statements here from Jesus. And we've got just a few things for you here today. We've got eye smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. For eye smart, thinking about that last phrase that anyone who puts hand to the plow and looks back, there's an adage that you go where you look.
Yep.
And this is true with plowing, and it's true with driving and biking and motorbiking and motorsports and all those sorts of things.
Riding a horse.
So, yeah, conveying yourself. So, mm-hmm. So we have a story for you, a link to a story about somebody who was doing some plowing on a tractor and ignoring the wisdom of his father and grandfather about how to get a straight line. Because they said, pick a point out there and keep your eyes on it. And he said, how can you tell if there's a straight line, if you're making a straight line, if you don't look back to see where you've been? And which is exactly what Jesus was talking about.
Right. So, because when you look back, you make curly cues.
You do. You get all wobbly.
Wibbly wobbly.
And then we have a few more links about target fixation, which is a phenomenon that happens particularly to motorcycle drivers, where instead of scanning the horizon, you have a tendency to find a thing, and probably the most dangerous thing for your driving, and lock onto it, and you just and you go right at it. And they have several videos here where that these folks just crash into things because they can't look away from it. It's really just remarkable to watch. And so I encourage you to have a look at those.
For NatureSmart, we're looking at an illustration of the phrase that when Jesus says to the person, "I will follow you wherever you go," he turns to him and says, "Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." We don't have a record as to how that man responds to it, but I imagine he probably was just kind of left standing there on the side of the road going, "What?" I would have been anyway, but with a little bit of thought, fox and birds, when they make their homes, they make them in rather inaccessible places for protection. Foxes burrow and birds build high up. We actually have a bird nest on top of the light in our carport right now, and we get swooped by Mama Bird whenever we go out to get in the car.
Yes, she does not appreciate our commuting.
No, at all. anyway. So for special effect, if you have the wherewithal or the opportunity to bring in an abandoned nest to talk about that and talk about the remote locations and the impermanence of being in any one particular place and time as a disciple of Jesus, you might also want to ask, or maybe this is a question for you yourself, what's the oddest place you've ever laid your head? Where have you found yourself finding shelter? That is a place where you would have said, that's not what I would have expected.
It's interesting maybe to think about Jesus sending out the apostles, the 12 and the 70, without much resource and saying,
right,
go out and live off the land.
Yep. Live off the hospitality of
Find what
other
hospitality
people.
You can. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Trust me.
For people smart, I had some fun with thinking about the reactions that people may have been having, as Molly was talking about, standing on the side of the road saying, What
do foxes and birds have to do with me wanting to follow you?
And we're lacking some context here and some of the story, and it would be nice if there were a few more details here. Clearly, I think Jesus is warning against some of the hardships that come with discipleship, that people not just sign on thinking that it's going to be easy.
But, I can do that.
But at the same time, there's some head-scratching that goes along with his particular answers as they're recorded. So came up with some GIFs, some animated pictures of people's reactions, you know, kind of surprise and what, as well as what Jesus' reaction might have been to James and John,
right,
wanting to call down fire on the Samaritans. You know, Jesus is saying, hey, let's go to the Samaritans and do some ministry there. Oh, should we kill them all? No.
What? Where did you get that?
What? No. So anyway, it's not much that would actually probably go in your sermon, but some funny pictures that you can have a look at to just get a sense maybe of the frustration.
The incredulity,
yeah.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of it in this passage, not only on Jesus' part with the disciples, but some of the people who wanted to be disciples trying to figure out what Jesus is talking about.
What does this mean?
Yeah. For SelfSmart, we have an illustration, essentially some questions to ask yourself and then your congregation. What's the personal cost of following Jesus? How high a cost are you willing to pay? And what would you turn your back on in order to follow him? Some interesting questions. That's it for today's podcast. Please ask us questions or leave a comment on our website at www.morethanhearing.org. Or you can leave us a comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/morethanhearing. Or you can send us a tweet at morethanhearing. Or drop us an email at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe you got an idea that you like even better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Be sure to look for the show notes, links, and resources on our website. We publish our worksheets on each text, so you can see some of the ideas that don't make it into the show. They might be helpful for you and give you a spark, too. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using the iTunes, Android, or RSS links at the bottom of the show notes, or pointing your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can also find us on iTunes, and you can subscribe to us there directly. And while you're there, why not write us a review? It helps other people find us too. And share the show with your friends and colleagues. Now we'll be back next week with another installment, so in the meantime, stay subscribed.
And be smart.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.